At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down this time to 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show. Well, welcome back to Hour 2 of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. This is a loaded hour. Former Nebraska AD Athletic Director Bill Moose is going to be joining us at 12:30. We're going to be discussing the transfer portal hits and misses that Nebraska football has had recently, and they have to hit this year. They absolutely have to. Then at the end of the show, the Nebraska women's sports overall as a whole, you know, when you think about volleyball versus football, softball versus baseball, just currently, okay, women's basketball versus men's basketball, and obviously women's gymnastics, the men's wrestling team is doing really, really well. So I don't want to paint like an extremely broad stroke, but the women seem to be doing a little bit better than the men. Why is that? We're going to offer some thoughts on that throughout this next hour as well. But let's start right off the top. All right. Nebraska football. So, like, people know. I just give my honest opinion. Like, there's some folks who make a concerted effort to be positive. There's some folks who make a concerted effort to be controversial, as we just discussed. There's some folks, like, there's the concerted effort to do something. So when I started doing this, going on 11 years ago, I was like, well, what is my goal? I remember sitting in, it used to be my son's bedroom. Then we had 84 children. So we turned it into a necessary office and he got a bigger bedroom, another part of the house. And I'm sitting there by myself trying to figure out what type of a sports show host do I want to be? And it has not changed since that day. I remember sitting in the office by myself, freezing cold day. The heat wasn't even on yet because the office was just built and made the way it was. And it came to me and it has not changed. I'm simply going to tell my truth, backed up with proof, facts, and evidence, and let the chips fall where they may. It's been the same thing for going on 11 years. I've never once professed that I'm right. Obviously, if it's my opinion, I believe that I'm right, but my ears are open. Okay? I don't respond well to emotional arguments or things of that nature. I respond well to proof, facts, and evidence, and we've had people text in, hey, Adam, it's actually this or that, and I don't get upset. I actually appreciate it. We want to be factually correct. There's no ego here. So for me, it's always, my goal has been, I'm going to tell my truth based on proof, facts, and evidence, and let the chips fall where they may. So when I looked at last year's transfer portal class, some players immediately came to my mind, all right, as not having, shall we say, phenomenal seasons, not as well as we had hoped. You look at Micah Mazuka, after the Colorado game, didn't play much, and actually the thing I remember most after the Colorado game was he got like a 15-yard penalty in one of the games later on in the year. But I was told by folks in that building that he was the most NFL-ready lineman they had. But he didn't even start or play in the majority of the games. There was a game where he was at the Lincoln Airport on a Friday, the day before the game. So we didn't get out of Micah what we needed. That's my point. Isaiah Nayor. Dude, 6'3", 215, runs a 4.4 flat 40 at the combine. He's one of only 5 receivers in the past 20 years at that size and weight to run that type of a 40 at the combine. 5 guys have done it. He's one of them in the past 20 years. He had some play, especially early on in the season, but I don't think anybody would sit here and say, hey, we got out of Isaiah what we needed, or even close. Jamal Banks, I actually really liked Jamal. I interviewed him, chatted with him before and after the interview. Fun guy, great guy to chat with. All right? I liked him, but I don't think we got out of him what we were hoping to get out of him. You look at a guy like Stephon Thompson, who started for Tony White as a true freshman at Syracuse. Definitely did not get out of him what we were hoping for. I mean, these are four guys right here. What was there? How many players were in the class last year? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I mean, that's a large percentage that you could say, with all due respect, we swung and missed on. That's a large percentage. Then you keep going down through the class. Dante Dowdell is a guy who did good in certain situations. He really should have been a short yardage goal line type back. He should not have been starting. It should have been Emmett Johnson. I said that all year long. This is not revisionist history. I said it after games where Emmett got one carry or no carries. And I said it the entire year. This is not revisionist history. So I don't really get mad at Dante. Of course he wants to start. It's not his call. That's someone else's call. Obviously, things have changed going into this year. At least that's the expectation with Emmett Johnson, hopefully earning the starting running back spot. And that's what everyone anticipates happening. I don't think Dante quite lived up to the starting running back type production that we would have hoped for if they're going to start him. You look at a guy like Zaire Wright. This dude was a happy bright spot. Just a happy bright spot, man. I think he exceeded expectations, and I think he played really, really well. And it wasn't just the USC game because he's a former Trojan and he wanted to beat his old team. He did it throughout the year, and the more opportunities he got, the better he played. I can't wait to see what he's going to do this year. There's a bright spot. Four guys we definitely did not get close to what we wanted out of. Dante Dowdell, I would say he contributed, maybe not at the level we would have preferred. To be clear, I'd love to have him back with Emmett this year as Emmett the starter. Obviously, that's not the case. Bly Hill gets hurt. Okay, that happens. He was projected to be a starter before he got hurt in the spring game. Can't wait to see what he can do, hopefully in the fall. He's doing well. Jalen Gromstad, he comes in and he does exactly what you expect him to be. You know who he is. You know what he's going to be. He's a guy that I'm going to tend to root for, a guy like that. Okay? If he gets his chance to play, we'll see what happens. But you know who he is. With all due respect, I look at Vince Genitone and okay, Jake, you got to help me out with this. I kind of forgot he was in this transfer portal class. I don't mean that disrespectfully. Don't worry about me. When I came into my class, there were people that forgot that I was in the class too, okay? Is he still on the team? What do we know about what he's doing now, Jake?
Yeah, I believe he's still on the team, but that's about as much as an update I've had. Said he played in all 13 games in 2024 as a special teams member, but he recorded just one tackle.
So he transferred from Montana, from the Grizzly, came to the Huskers a year ago. Now he was a redshirt freshman, okay, young guy. So I'm hoping he develops, improves, and gets better and better and can contribute on the field. But of the nine guys I just listed, there's one guy that I look at from our transfer portal class last year. And you needed Isaiah to start and contribute. You needed Micah to come in and start and contribute. You needed the same from Jamal. You needed Stephon to come in and contribute. Okay, you didn't necessarily get it to the level that you wanted. One guy out of nine, we've got to hit on an absurdly higher percentage than that in this year's transfer portal class. What about the year before? Because you actually looked up Rule's first transfer portal class, Jake.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was worse. We all kind of know how that went down as far as the quarterback position goes with Jeff Sims, which really kind of drags it down. But you look at, you know, some of the names across the board there, Jacob Hood, Eric Gilbert. I mean, these were guys that, you know, were big time transfers in from Georgia, didn't quite produce enough there. Joshua Fleeks did save the shutout streak against Michigan. So,
We'll take it.
But like, you know, Chief Borders, Corey Collier, did you get enough out of these guys while they're on campus? Probably not. The bright spots of it, Ben Scott and MJ Sherman.
Yep.
You know, solid starters for a couple years. So they didn't completely miss on everything. But I think, again, I think Jeff Sims kind of and Eric Gilbert kind of overshadowed the rest of that class. But it just wasn't really, all that successful of a class. Now, there are Tyler Knack, Elijah Judy. There's still some guys that maybe could prove to be better members of that, too. But again, it's kind of the similar thing as what you're saying. Yeah, there's a few bright spots. There's this or that as far as future building. But there's a big chunk of that portal class that. And with the portal, that's where they're supposed to come in and fill holes, play right away, be good players. Just didn't happen.
So I do want to point out in this year's class, and I mentioned this when we started the show a little over an hour ago, we have a top five transfer portal class in the country, number one in the Big Ten. We have two of the top 20 transfer portal players in the country, okay? And number 19 ranked in the country, wide receiver Dane Key, number 16, okay, per a lot of the sources that I looked at as far as the rankings, Williams and Morey. So we, I mean, I tell you what, this is a larger, much larger transfer portal class. I do think it's a very talented transfer portal class. What actually manifests on the field? When you think about the guys who have to hit from this class, like they have to hit, we can't miss. First of all, the percentage needs to be absurdly higher, incredibly higher, insanely much higher on the hits versus misses going forward, especially with what some of these guys are getting paid. And that's part of the deal. If you're going to get paid, it's going to get pointed out and the scrutiny is going to become more, and it's fair.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
All right. Who do we have to hit on in this class? The first guy that pops in my mind, and I want you to drop a couple, is Elijah Pritchard. That's the first guy. Like, there's more. The entire D-line, honestly, is the other thing that popped into my head. We got a bunch of receivers, but the first guy that pops in my head is Elijah freaking Pritchard. Who do you got, Jake?
Yeah, no, I think that's probably the first name that comes to my mind too. Obviously, Dane Key, and that's going to be interesting between Dane Key and Isaiah Hunter, because over the last couple of years, you've gotten wide receivers. Over the last 4 years, in fact, Nebraska has had a player that wasn't previously on the roster come on and lead the team in receiving. That started off being a good thing. You know, Samori Toure.
Good, not great.
Yeah, Palmer. Trey Palmer. So you're going, wow, these guys are, Nebraska's doing great on the transfer portal. Last couple of years, Kemp did lead the team in receiving yards. It was like 310 yards. Nayer did lead the team in receiving yards. By the end of his, the Iowa game, some of that stuff just what didn't seem to live up to expectations despite leading the team. So, I mean, I think that Dane Key and Isaiah Hunter, we've got a lot of expectation for these guys coming in. They've got to at least be able to outproduce or get close to rising above the level. They have to rise above the level that Banks and Nayer did. Banks and Nayer, I think, were solid, but maybe didn't live up to the expectation that they had coming in. If you have a repeat performance out of that this year, I think he could be in trouble. And then another name that comes to my head, I think, is Deshaun McColl. I think we feel like, he's a freshman, all Big Ten, but, trying to find his spot, finally now getting to that edge rush position. I think a lot of people feel like, oh, you got an A-plus player there. I'm not sure. Well, I think we have to wait and see. I think there's a big expectation for him to be that guy. And I don't know if you're going to, do you get an MJ Sherman return? MJ Sherman, fine. Maybe mm-hmm. not as much as what you had hoped. That might be okay. But I think if you're expecting to take that next step on defense between him and Marquise Watson Trent, they've got to be impact linebackers or, edge rushers in McColl's case.
Yeah, that's a great point. I would put McColl number two. Elijah Pritchard one, McColl two, because we got to be able to get after the quarterback. We got to. Williams and Ware is still a young guy. I've talked about how he just stands out on film. He's a freak athlete, and it's been talked about. He's a young guy, so he gets a little bit more grace. But Dawson McColl has got to perform at a high level now. And Williams and Ware absolutely can. I'm just going to give him a little bit more grace because he's much, much younger. So I would say Pritchett, one. I would say Dawson McColl, two. That's a great point. With the receivers, now let me be very, very clear. We need better receiver play. For me, the emphasis on each particular receiver isn't as high because I think we have plenty of talent. I hope that doesn't come back to bite me in the butt in the fall. But if, let's say, Dane Key doesn't work out, you got an Isaiah Hunter, you got Ja'Cory Barney, you got Hardley Gilmore, who I talked about yesterday. You've got other guys you can go to. So the wide receiver room has to step up as a whole. The individual pressure on each receiver, I think, is a little bit less just because of what you anticipate the room as a whole to be. Again, I hope that doesn't bite me in the keister come the fall. The other thing is the entire D-line. The entire D-line. And I know that's kind of cheating. But we have not a lot of experience, to put it mildly. Now, we said that 2 years ago going into Rule's first year, and then the D-line was the strength of the defense. Maybe the strength of the team that year. And they were incredibly young. I mean, Nash was young. I think Ty was the only guy with any starting experience going into that season, if I remember right. Okay. So that's what kind of sticks out to me as far as we've got to have a much higher hit versus miss percentage out of the transfer portal. We've got to be able to develop our high school players. Now, do you develop them and they go elsewhere? Well, that's the conundrum. All right. That's the unfortunate part of college football right now. That has to be ironed and figured out as time goes along. Pritchett, McColl, For me, it's the D-line. You mentioned some receivers. I mean, Marcus Watson Trent's a great point. We just kind of assume he's going to work out because he's so proven and so experienced. And yes, it wasn't in the Big Ten, but I mean, you kind of assume, you know, he was the player of the year, defensive player of the year in the Sun Belt, right? Like, you kind of assume that guy's going to work out. You look at Indiana from last year. Oh, okay, it's going to work out. You never know. I highly expect him to work out, but that's a guy that's got to work out as well. You know, look at some of these younger guys. I tell you what, it's not hard to do it for one or two games. It's not hard to do it for 10 to 20 snaps a game. Vincent Shavers is an incredibly talented kid. Willis McGainey Jr. is an incredibly talented kid. It is a different animal to do it day in and day out, play in and play out, game in and game out, when you're beat up, when you feel like crap, when you feel horrible, when you're 12 weeks in, you can barely walk when you get out of bed, yet you're supposed to go perform on the football field with 330-pound men trying to rip your face off and wear it on Halloween. Do I believe they can do it? Absolutely. Do I expect them to do it? Yes, I do. Is it a given? Absolutely not. So even the guys that are returning that are young players, they've got to be able to do it down in and down out, day in and day out, game in and game out, week in and week out, month in and month out. That includes Vincent Shavers and Willis McGahee and some of these other guys that we need to step up. Again, I anticipate them doing it, but nothing is a given. Any final thoughts there, Jake?
Well, I think it's interesting. We've had this whole conversation without mentioning Rocco Spindler.
It's a given, right? No, it's not.
Yeah. I mean, because you do think of him as a guy that, you know, he's going to be one of the highest paid players on the team. I'll just put it that way.
Yes.
But it's interesting because they needed a lot of offensive line help. We knew they needed offensive line help, but it was more tackle help. They did get him out of guard. So it's kind of interesting that his name is worth mentioning here, but I don't think he's a top guy on this list because I think they have some other guard bodies they could throw in. It was the tackle that they needed, and that was kind of the emphasis of the whole, you know, even when they got him in and brought him in, was that, okay, good, you know, good addition out of the portal, but you probably still need a tackle. Mm-hmm. And maybe they do, maybe they don't. Looks like they're moving on here. Gunnar Gatula is going to sit out the spring. Maybe some of those other Grant Seagren, some of those guys can kind of step up. But as far as a concern going into the year, I still think tackles, you know, way over the interior offensive line.
Did you make such a good point? Because with Rocco Spindler, I'm sitting here staring at a picture of his press conference from whatever that was a week or two ago. I'm staring right at him and his name didn't pop into my head because I just assume he's going to work out. So again, do we expect him to work out? Does he need to work out? Yes. Is it a given? No. Look at Micah Mazzucca. He started at Baylor. He started at Florida. He was the number two run-blocking graded guard in the entire Big 12 conference as a sophomore. Didn't work out last year. So, to be clear, this is not Chicken Little. The sky is not falling. We're simply saying you've still got to go out there and earn it. Nothing is a given. You got to go out there and earn it, whether you're a guy who's kind of taken for granted that you're just going to be really good, or you're a guy there's a million question marks around. You've got to go out there and earn it. In my mind, the more you get paid does not guarantee you playing time. What it gives you is more benefit of the doubt. Okay? The more you're getting paid, the more benefit of the doubt you're going to get. But at a certain point, if a walk-on, well, there's no more walk-ons anymore. If somebody who's not getting paid any NIL yet is playing better than a guy getting paid 1.5, Matt Rhule wants to win football games. That benefit of the doubt might have been a lot, but if you don't earn it and that guy's earning it, that guy's going to play, and it has to be that way. What do you think, Jake?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's so interesting. That's part of college football. What we're going to see, kind of the changing landscape. By the way, Michigan State, the latest to cancel the spring game. Speaking of changing landscapes, but yeah, I mean, and you've seen it at the pro level, right? Like how much of a difference it can make from how much a franchise will cater to a player, or you know how long that can last, even if you spend a high draft pick on them, or you spend a big money on them in the offseason. It's going to be fascinating to see kind of team dynamics, player reactions, all that in the future. That's in college football as a whole, not just in Nebraska. Hopefully we don't run into that. Hopefully the guys we've paid good money to are playing quite a bit.
Well, first of all, in the NFL, they're going to put you out there unless you're hurt, and then they just release you at the end of the year. They trade you. Matt Rhule has shown, Mazzucca was basically fine physically. He has shown if you're not working out, you won't be out there. So I do give Matt Rhule credit for that. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but this is the case. You know, I've been told he was the most NFL-ready lineman of all the preseason projected starters outside of guys who got hurt, played the least. So it is what it is. So All right. I asked Jake if this was okay. He said it was okay. The football camp is officially live, ladies and gentlemen. I talked about the Character Chronicles football camp yesterday. It is officially live. Registration is open. All right. The Character Chronicles football camp, July 9th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. All right. Kids K through 8th. Whether you're just learning the sport, whether you're a seasoned player and you're looking to tank your game to the next level, come learn from legends like Eric Crouch, Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Fame, Amon Green, the ticket's own, Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame, two-time national champion, some Yahoo named Adam Carricker who flaps his gums way too much, and another, at least one more Husker surprise legend that is similar to the aforementioned players is going to be there. All right, if you want to register, simply go to CarrickerChronicles.com. There's a big banner across the top of the website. There's a picture of Eric, Amon, and myself. You can click on any of those things. It'll take you to the website's page. Okay, the page within the website. You can learn more about the camp there. It's a unique, in my opinion, very special opportunity. And I'm excited about it because I had nothing like this where I grew up. Man, I would have gone nuts if I could have gone to a camp and learned from guys that are my friends now. I hope they're not listening because then it gets weird. But guys like Grant Wistrom and Jason Peter, had I gone, been able to go to a camp and learn from a guy like them, or Tommy Armstrong, which is odd because I've actually done a camp with Tommy Armstrong as well. But Tommy Frazier, I did a camp with him a few years ago. And I'm like, man, I'm standing right here next to Tommy. I could have done a camp where he could have been coaching me when I was a kid. These things are just awesome. They're fun. I'm excited about it. You can officially go register your kids. Go to CharacterChronicles.com. Again, there's a banner. There's a picture. Click on any of the aforementioned items in the menu bar. It says football camp. Click on that. Learn more. Sign your kids up. K through 8th grade. Boys and girls, have a whole lot of fun. All right. In about 5 minutes, we're going to be joined by former Nebraska athletic director, a man who did it for a very, very long time. And his last stop was here at the University of Nebraska. He's also got a book that's coming out. Mr. Bill Moose. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.